internet, this is Ewan Spence calling, and welcome to another unofficial Eurovision podcast. Yes, we're just under a month away from the 2010 Eurovision Song Contest in the Telenor Arena in Oslo in Norway. But and up before then, we've still got to go through all the songs with the jukebox juries. We've got to give you the question and answer sessions, interviews and news from behind the scenes in the arena. And of course, for those of you new to the Song Contest, we need to get you up to speed on the intricacies of Eurovision. So in today's show, it's another short guide to Eurovision. And in this time, we are going to look at the songs. Even though the contest is famous for the stage shows, the pyrotechnics, choreographed dances, skirts being pulled off at key changes, an overuse of sequins, the occasional lasers coming out of your fingers if you're Armenia, the foundation of everything is the song. The rules and what you can and can't do to keep everybody in balance and give everybody an absolutely fair chance. And that's what we're going to look at over the next couple of minutes. That playing field means that Britain can't send Bohemian Rhapsody every single year. And of course, every year it has to be a new song. This is where one of the main rules comes in. The songs must be published no earlier than 6 months before the date of the grand final. Again, that means songs that have to be new. Everybody has a maximum of 6 months to promote the song around Europe that they choose. They have to decide on the song by March the 25th this year, about 6 weeks, 6 or 7 weeks out from the contest. So everybody's got time to do all the research and notes and everything. The song itself must be no more than 3 minutes long. Again, it gives everybody an equal amount of time on the stage. It also has a certain predictability to how long the stage show is going to be running as well. And given the television schedules of every station in Europe, pretty much, or at least one from every country in Europe, have to be lined up, that is important as well. There are some rules on what you don't need to worry about. It used to be that you had to sing in your own national language. That's not the case anymore. You can sing in any language that you like. If you so desired, yes, you could sing in Klingon, but then you would be someone singing in Klingon at Eurovision, and that would probably blow your geek cred right out of the window. A lot of countries now choose English just because it has a much broader appeal, but there are still a lot of foreign language songs, and they can still win, as we've seen in previous years. There are no rules on the nationality of the singer or the songwriter. Just because you're in Moldova, you don't have to send someone from Moldova with a song written by a Moldovan. Although most countries do tend to stay inside their own borders, there have been situations where this changes. Famously, the Canadian Celine Dion won the Eurovision Song Contest for Switzerland back in the 80s. And sometimes, you know, every year there's anomalies. So Cyprus have chosen a Welsh singer this year, and the Danish song has been composed by a team from Sweden. So it is a little bit fast-food, but every country chooses a song that they want to send. Neither is there any restriction on style or genre of the song. But it tends to be middle of the road, though. I mean, you find it very occasionally do you find songs that are of a niche topic that actually get out and win and do very well. Lordi, people will say, that's a rock metal number. Ah! But it had a big, broad appeal. It had a good performance on stage. It had a good, strong lyrical construct. And, of course, all the metal fans loved it. And they put on a great look as well. This year's already been labelled the year of the ballad. I'm going to change that slightly. It's the year of the power ballad this year. Lots of earnest fist clenching as you're coming up to the microphone to sing that soaring song and have somebody flash some butterfly wings behind you. I kid you not. But that's not all there is. There's funk. There's some dance club rave numbers. There's a circus themed waltz in the mix there. There's even one or two numbers that wouldn't look out of place in a cheesy 80s compilation album. It is a complete riot of whatever people want to send. All less than 3 minutes long, or on the nose of 3 minutes, all recent within the last 6 months, sung by whoever you want, written by whoever you want. But the whole thing is, they've all been through a national final, well, pretty much all of them. I think there's one or two countries that have chosen them internally. But really, this is every country choosing the best song that they think will do well at Eurovision. Be that from a public, be that from a jury. They've sent something that they think is going to be fun and exciting and give you a great 3 minutes on the two semi-finals, 25th, 27th of May, and the grand final on 29th of May. We'll be taking a closer in-depth look at each song in turn in our Jukebox Juries, which will be starting next week. But for now, if you have any questions, head on back to the website. It's bit.ly/UNESC. The podcast is now up in iTunes as well, so you'll find the link back on the website, or you can just search for Unofficial Eurovision in iTunes as well, and you will get to that. I'm Ewan Spence. Thank you very much for listening to the short guide. We're going to have more of these for the rest of this week to get you up to speed and ready for the 2010 Eurovision Song Contest. Electrical guitars, please.